The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, all right, all right. As David says, it's your favorite Tuesday you've had all week. This week on the True Wealth Radio Show, David is not joining us in studio. He is still at an undisclosed location. By the way, he does not have COVID. He is not self-quarantining. That's not what's happening. But I do have a special guest in studio with me because it makes it more interesting. And then I don't have to monologue for 45 minutes, which is super boring. So in guest, my special guest today is...
Casey McKillop.
All right. And Casey owns...
Backside Brewing.
Backside Brewing. So Casey's been on the air a couple times as a guest, different times. But I'm going to continue this week. We'll continue the series of just bringing positivity back to the airwaves. I feel like right now there is so much inundation with negativity, right? I mean, there's tons of political things that are happening. There's obviously COVID. We've been dealing with that since March now. I just feel like everything is so negatively charged. So I wanted the show to be more about the power of positivity and just spreading some positive vibes out into the community. And I'm trying to do that through small businesses, through small business owners. And by the way, if you're a business owner, it never feels like a small business, right? Yeah. It feels like such a gargantuan thing when it consumes your whole entire life. But Casey is a small business owner here in town who has graciously agreed to come on the show today and kind of share some of his experiences. Yeah, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So, Casey, when did you start Backside Brewery?
We started in 2012, technically.
Oh, my gosh. Has it really been 8 years already?
I guess. But it really wasn't open. Like, it was slow, very slow to get going. That's when we moved into the building and just kind of started tinkering, you know, cleaning it up, getting the vision started, moving things here and there.
Are you located?
1640 Northeast Odell.
So that's kind of right off of Diamond Lake. I always say kind of behind the stacks. I don't even know what those are called.
Yeah, but. Tyree Oil. They have their tanks out there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's old Garrettson's Building Supply.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that would make sense why you have that huge warehouse on the side then.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Well, that makes sense. All right, and you've been there for 8 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get started in brewing?
I guess wanted to learn how to make beer.
Okay.
At first I thought it intrigued me. I guess, you know, what else? I like to barbecue and cook food, but like once it gets past that, it gets too complicated.
Okay.
But I thought, making beers sounds very complicated, but for some reason it did, you know, intrigue me in a way. And I had a friend of mine who wanted to learn as well. And so we just started home brewing. Pretty typical startup, you know, story. Kind of got honestly caught up in like the hype of owning a brewery and just thought, well, why not, you know? And I guess luckily I was young enough and dumb enough to go for it. So
I wouldn't say dumb enough. It takes, you know, it, gosh, I'm totally going to get murdered for this one, but it takes a lot of balls to start a business. Like it takes a lot of gumption. It takes a lot of oomph. You can word it however you want. Sorry, I know that was totally crass. I apologize, listeners, but I didn't know how else to say it. But it, you know, a lot of people talk about starting their own business, but get scared, right? And they kind of get paralyzed by fear. Mm-hmm. And it does take a big leap of faith because you had no idea whether it would succeed or fail.
No. And I guess my vision was something much smaller than what it is now because I was doing other things at the time. I wasn't going to jump in like we did. We did not plan to move to the building we're at. We were going to do like a little thing like out at my parents' property and like their barn, like try to make it kind of like a vineyard, like the winery setting.
That's fascinating.
We wanted to do something different in that aspect.
So more of a destination.
Yeah.
Like out in the countryside. Okay.
Yeah. And that was actually, we were moving forward with that and then just kind of stumbled upon this building and it was just an awesome location, tons of potential. And one of those things, again, we're just like, well, why not? You know, at the end of the day, I don't ever want to say that I've regretted anything I have or, more importantly, have not done or tried to do. And I think the most important thing is when people, they're on the fence, they're not sure.
Right.
I try to spread the good word across, you know, anyone who wants to listen and who is thinking about starting a business or doing other things, I guess, for that matter. Maybe not starting a business per se, but jumping into a new career or going back to school or changing their paths, whatever direction, whatever it is they want to do.
It's scary.
Yeah. And I think people they're afraid to fail. And I think the thing they should be afraid of is I always say you got three choices. You got the right choice, the wrong choice, and then your other one is no choice. You do nothing. And I think doing nothing is 10 times worse than doing the wrong thing. Because if you're motivated, you're going to do the wrong thing, but you readjust and you readjust and you readjust and you readjust, and then eventually you end up into that right spot.
Right. Talk about Thomas Edison, right? Like, he figured out hundreds of ways not to do the light bulb.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
And a lot of people, I want to reiterate too, starting your own business, a lot of times the way you start out is not always the way you end up, right? Like, you're constantly changing, manipulating the way you do things, finding a better way. Right. Or you think, you know, in your head you have a plan and you go, OK, well, this is our plan. And then you get halfway down the plan and you're like, why am I doing it that way? That was so hard. Like,
definitely.
Let's go this way. It makes more sense. And so being able to be flexible, having a lot of grace with yourself, you know, like, it's being allowing it to naturally evolve.
Yeah.
Right. And being humbled by it. Like, there's times when people do mistakes, but being able to fall forward, right? It's like, it's okay to fall down, but get up and keep moving. Go forward. Figure out what went wrong and then fix it.
Yep.
And it's a lot of times it's more about our ego
than
it is about the actual mistake. Like,
for sure.
We're afraid to admit that we did something wrong.
That's 100%.
Every successful business owner you've ever met will always tell you, like, yeah, I failed a bunch of times, right? Or I made bad mistakes or bad calls.
Yeah.
But it's being able to get up, dust yourself off, and move forward. That's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I mean, just now, I didn't know that about your vision. Like, that's crazy. Like, you had this totally different vision set for Backside Brewery.
Yeah.
Right. And how did the name come about?
Well, the name came about because at the beginning, when we were the vision of being like outside of town, like our idea was like we were going to be where it was located was kind of like on the backside of a mountain.
Oh.
And so I don't know. It kind of stuck. We started saying it. And
you're like, I'm on the backside of Diamond Lake.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. The backside of the building, got to, you know, go around the back. People still like pull in. They're like, where's the brewery? I'm like, it's in the backside of, I don't know. You know.
You're like, I don't know. We got to create a backside somewhere so we can say this is the backside.
Yep, exactly.
How funny. So. And you've even, the brewery itself, we were just talking about it prior to coming on the air that, you know, I remember when you kind of first got started and visiting, and like all the tanks were inside and they were kind of to the one side of the brewery. And then now that's full of seating for more of like a restaurant style. I remember when you added the brick oven pizza, like that wasn't part of the original plan either.
Yeah.
And and I really enjoy going there and having a beer and having a pizza and hanging out with my friends. And so it's a great family atmosphere. Now, during this whole thing, and part of the reason I brought you on again, we're trying to spread positivity with business owners, because I think it's very easy to get stuck in the negative. How has COVID changed your business model?
Well,
or how have you had to do things differently due to restrictions given?
Well, the one thing you mentioned on earlier, you brought up the word ego, is I have to put myself into check and detach like on a daily basis.
Okay.
Because I think that is super important for a business owner or anyone right now, the way things are going. Because for one, you wake up in the morning and do you choose to watch news? Yes or no? Okay.
Right.
Either way, you need to stay open-minded about that, because it's really easy to get caught up into poor me. Oh, well, this sucks. This is so hard. Or,
right.
Or I
and
would
kind
totally,
of start on the left foot and not like in the right frame of mind.
Or I would move forward with this project, or man, I would totally open that business if this wasn't going on or that wasn't going on.
Right.
It's like, well, take a step back and try to see, even in times of, you know,
pandemic and the way the world, I mean, this is a new uncharted territory.
Yeah. There's always an opportunity. There's
right.
always, you know what, maybe you, instead of going left to get there, you got to make three rights or whatever. And I think for me, instantly we had to make adjustments.
Okay.
Luckily, I have a lot of awesome people that surround me, family, friends, business relationships. When things like this happen, I always reach out to people that are smarter than me, that are more involved or whatever. I just listen, I don't know much about this. What do you guys suggest? You know, if you were me, or what are you doing? And really try to, like I said, detach, look at what everybody's doing, no matter where they're at, what business they operate, their political views, no matter what. And you just, you gather information and you go, okay, this is how we're going to move forward. This might not be how that person's moving forward. Maybe this is a little tidbit from them, a little tidbit from this group or whatever. And, but also having to make decisions quickly.
Well, and I think you've hit it on the head, having, like an advisory council is what mm-hmm. we call it. Like, right. Like having people around you yeah. to bounce ideas off of, mm-hmm. right. Or problem solve with.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to be more creative when you kind of come across that. It's like, hey, by the way, I have this problem and I'm not sure exactly how to problem solve it. Or I have, you know, 3 out of the 4 pieces I need,
mm-hmm.
you know, give me something different.
Yeah.
You know, I know last week when I was talking to Crystal and she was talking about Crate and Sip, she mentioned, you know, like, oh, we went to pizza boxes mm-hmm. and lipstick tubes. And it's like, yeah. we went into places that we hadn't mm-hmm. envisioned, but sure. having somebody else kind of have a mm-hmm. format for what we wanted to do made sense.
Yep.
So it does really help to have that mm-hmm. advisory council. And a lot of business owners have that, right? Whether it's your business partner, like you said, yep. whether it's other owners in the mm-hmm. industry or, because I'm pretty sure you've talked to other breweries, because I know there's kind of like a brewery sure. collective in the area
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. And anytime, I mean, I've reached out to them and vice versa. We've worked on projects together. Or if I have a question on something, I mean, they're beyond like open to try to help in any way they can. And that's awesome. You know, and too, as soon as you talk to somebody, especially when they're in the same exact industry as you are, and you like share that struggle for even if it's just like a 30-second, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm not the only one that's going through this.
It kind of feels better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you almost feel like you shoulder that burden with other people, mm-hmm. right? Like it's not you alone carrying this massive 100-pound yeah. elephant on your shoulders. It's like, no, other people are feeling this too.
Yep.
You know, how can we problem solve mm-hmm. together? And I do. I think sometimes it bands together a little bit of an industry, especially in a small town like this. It's like, hey, you know, we're all kind of struggling this way. Let's work together
yeah.
and let's figure out how to problem solve this in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think balancing that with just knowing that you can get through it if you really choose to, you know, if you really put your head down and work hard, obviously still like staying aware of your surroundings, but knowing that there is a way, it's going to probably might not be the best way you would choose to go or the funnest path for the time being. But it's always better than giving up. You know, it's like you hit that point where you're like, gosh, this is just, even if it's the worst thing imaginable, it's, in my opinion, that has always been better than quitting. It's like, well, once you quit, once you're done,
right,
then what? Then you really have some issues to try to like figure out, because if you quit and you step away, then what are you going to do? You know, so it's like, well, you might as well make it, you know, work the hardest and best you can towards making sure you pull out of it. And, you know, there's definitely sometimes, even me, I'll hit spots where I might go through a period where I'm like, I'm not sure how we're going to go through this. But you know what? Tomorrow's a new day, and that day comes, and you get through it. You do.
Right.
And
so the visual that I've, for whatever reason, I've shared this quite a bit lately, about personal things, but also about business too, is right now it is not a freeway, right? It is not a straight road that's smooth that you can go 80 miles an hour
sure.
on.
Yeah.
I feel like it is an off-road adventure mm-hmm. with bumps and rocks, and you feel like you are mountain climbing in a vehicle kind of hanging off the cliff.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, we're still making progress and we'll mm-hmm. steer going forward, but we have to go slower. We have to be more cautious. We have to really take our time and visualize the path. So it's not a like, let's just go as fast as we want and kind of recklessly. It's like, yeah. no, we need to be really methodical about where we're going and how we're doing it. And some of it, you know, like if you also think about like trailblazing in the jungle, it's like, yeah, we're trying to cut our path mm-hmm. now too. It's not just we're going to go where everybody else is want.
Yep. Yeah. And I think stopping now, you just have to readjust in this time. What we've done is make those adjustments much more often, you know, literally on a daily basis, trying to figure out how we're going to steer that vehicle. So
that's a perfect way to leave off. So we're actually going to catch our first break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the adjustments you've had to make to your business since COVID. So you have Katie Shook and
Casey McKillop,
and this is News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Now more than ever, you need accurate information, and that's what we provide on the
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
That was such a fast break. Welcome back, everybody. This is the True Wealth Radio Show. You have Katie Shook and
Casey McKillop.
Casey's here joining me from Backside Brewery. We are here today as a part two series of throwing positivity out there, talking about how businesses are thriving and doing different things during this time, right? Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, something our nation hasn't seen in this kind of magnitude in a very long time. And a lot of it's due to globalization now, right? Like, we're not just national anymore, we're global. Mm-hmm. So it's a global pandemic, which is very unique. And we're talking about adjustments. So right before we left at the break, we were talking about adjustments that you've had to make to your business. So what are some simple adjustments that you're like, well, we used to do it that way, and now we have to do it this way?
Well, you know, for the most part, most of our adjustments are pretty typical, you know, making sure that we're keeping our tables spaced apart. One thing I did when we were shut down for a little while doing takeout only, we implemented delivery service right away. I took the, and luckily we have like beer delivery vans because we self-distribute our beer. And I said, well,
we got the vans, we have the fleet, yep, we might as well.
Yeah, and trying to keep people busy, you know, instead of having 10 people on staff on throughout a day, we went to, you know, three and way less in other areas. So we instantly implemented beer delivery vans.
How
for
cool.
Pizza delivery. and that was an eye-opener.
What do you mean it's an eye-opener? Like, what was kind of, you're like, okay, well, we have the vans, we know we can do it, we make pizza and beer, so we're just going to start delivering it now.
It's a lot of work to deliver food.
So it gave you a new appreciation for people that do that.
Oh, yes. Because,
so again, something that you're like, oh, it's not that hard, and then you start doing it, and you're like, ooh, there's a lot more to it than I thought.
Yeah, and I am super thankful. I mean, we had people calling us from all over saying, we just want to support you, you know?
Oh, that's so sweet.
That was awesome. It was awesome to see the community really, like,
reach out. And awesome. Yeah. That is so great.
Yeah. So, yeah, we implemented that right away. We expanded our seating, tasting room area. We took out a wall so we can put our tables farther apart. And luckily we already had our outside seating. That's huge. And I haven't got to expand that like I really, truly want, but just utilizing it more.
Okay.
And one thing I think it didn't take me too long to figure out, but at first, you know, you get caught up and don't know what to do or what not to do.
It's paralyzing a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, you know, somebody, I think the biggest thing right now is that the government is making decisions for your business, right? Usually as a small business, as a business owner in general, not even small business, but as a business owner in general, you're used to making the decisions for your business. And all of a sudden now you have somebody who's not familiar with your business or not familiar with how you do things, dictating how you have to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it does kind of take you by surprise. You're like, wait. So.
Yeah, yeah. And it is very stressful when things are happening and you feel like it's out of your control. But again, you have to gain control as much of the situation as you possibly can.
Take a step back, take a breath, and be like, all right, how are we going to face this challenge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, utilizing what tools you have and really, truly thinking about, okay, how are customers going from the outside looking in? How will they look at our business, what we're doing, the actions we're taking? You know, because internally, we might be doing all of these things thinking that, well, this is going to be great, and this is going to be great, and maybe they are great, but if we don't get that message out to the consumer, let them know, hey, these are the steps we're taking, then really we're only accomplishing maybe, you know, 25% of what we really ultimately want to, so we can't get caught up in, like, into our situation, just us either, and feel sorry for us or be frustrated with the extra steps we have to take.
So I think that actually brought up a great point. I think a lot of businesses are making all these adjustments, and there's an assumption that the consumer just knows what you're doing.
Yes.
And I think that could be something that small businesses could share a little more, mm-hmm. whether it's on social media or through an email. Mm-hmm. Outlining for consumers, like, hey, these are the new mandates, but this is what we're doing to be proactive. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing to make sure you still get a good customer experience.
Yeah.
Because in the small business owners I've talked to, you know, when it used to take you 10 steps to get the product done, now it takes you 20. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the consumer always knows that, like, there's all these extra steps now that you've had to take.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be. So if you're listening and you're a small business owner, that's my one little nugget for you today. If you could somehow communicate better with your consumer base what you're doing to be proactive, right? And because people want to know, like, hey, mm-hmm. we want to know that you're still open.
Yeah.
I think that's actually, even that message alone, mm-hmm. like, don't make the assumption that your consumer just knows that you're open. They don't know, right? And again, they're getting inundated with stuff. So keep it simple. Outline it very clearly.
Yeah.
What you're doing. And if there's a new offering, get them excited about that. Like, you know, I wish I would have known you were doing pizza and beer delivery. I would have totally done that. Yeah. I was kind of hunkered down mm-hmm. in my own little bubble, you know, dealing with cooking 20 million times at home. Because let me tell you, the first month was okay. By the second month, I'm like, I am tired of eating my own cooking. Uh-huh. Like, I've cooked the same five things 20 times. My kids are like, that again? Mm-hmm. I mean, it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we heard a lot of that.
and just not having to do dishes.
Yeah.
Like, when you've been stuck at home all day and you're like on your third load of dishes, mm-hmm. you're like, paper plates sound really good. Not having to cook makes it even better. So I kind of wish I would have known that. And I don't know how I would have found that out. I know I follow you guys on Facebook, but mm-hmm. that would be my thing, is just, you know, not that you want to overshare. Like, you don't want to be like, oh my gosh, today was such a bad day.
Yeah.
Like, people don't want that. No. But sharing the positivity, or if, you know, good mm-hmm. things happen every day.
Yeah.
I think those are things that people want to hear about.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And when you're doing it every day and you're caught up in it, it's the normal for you.
Right.
You know, so you have to kind of be, you know, if you're not able to be that person, you need to put someone into that spot.
Delegate a staff member or a family friend or someone else that mm-hmm. can come in and be like, hey, can you come in and take some pictures and post these on Facebook and show what we're doing?
Yep.
You know, I'm too busy. I don't have time. Can mm-hmm. you come volunteer and I'll, you know, give you a free pizza or something?
Yeah. And realize that just because, you know, like you said, like, as the whatever business you own, you know, you're doing a special on car washes, or due to COVID, you're not charging for tire rotations or whatever it is. A month in, you're just like, yeah, we've been doing it for a while. But if you don't really constantly throw those little nuggets out at people, and it does feel like you're being redundant at times. I mean, even with our marketing, you know, we do Taco Tuesday every Tuesday. Eventually,
but there's new people on your list all the time.
But we promote it every Tuesday.
Right.
Every Tuesday. And I don't think it's overdoing it, but like you said, there are ways to do that. But constantly trying to just throw little tidbits of information out there. That was something that we focused heavily on in the beginning, because I realized right away people were asking me, well, what are you guys doing? Are you even open, or how are you doing food? And can I come and buy beer? Or would, you know, and I instantly realized
they didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
right. So to give instruction, like, hey, you can come here, you can mm-hmm. buy beer, we can deliver, we can do this. This is the phone number, this is the website. I know other business owners that have even changed their ordering systems, or mm-hmm. you know, how they process things. Maybe they've added mm-hmm. more online availability or options, right? Yeah. Or for people who haven't updated their online presence mm-hmm. in a while, maybe they're more focused on that right now.
Yeah, yep. And those are all small things that we have touched on across the last 2-3 month period. Online presence, phone orders. We did implement like this phone order ticket like program thing. It's nothing fancy. It's very simple.
Sometimes the simple ones are the most effective.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be an expensive system to be efficient.
Uh-huh. No, and that's, and it works great. And now it's like, when we see that ticket hanging, we know that's like a to-go order. You know, we used to just write to-go, but now it's like we have to separate, you know, simple things. But, you know, and like the girls, one of the bartenders that work for us, they're the ones that design that. So I never thought of it.
So again, taking input from your employees, right? Mm-hmm. Like brainstorming together. Here are the problems that we're now facing. Help offer solutions, because everybody's going to look at it a little differently. And some of it, you brought up a good point. That bartender who's used to answering the phone and used to taking orders and used to doing things, that's kind of, you said her, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of her lane, right? Yeah. So she's going, how can I make my job easier and yet keep me employed, right? So she's trying to add value to you as a business owner and trying to add value to her position.
Yep.
And those are things that I think are really important to think about too, right? Is there something going on in your business? If you're listening as an employee, is there something that you're like, you know, we could be doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, the power of suggestion is great, because don't assume that the owner has thought of everything.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And it's again, if that's not your lane, like, I don't know how often you answer the phone at the brewery anymore, but it's probably only if everybody's really busy. and they may not let you near the phone anyway. Because let's be honest, sometimes when it's the boss, you're like, please don't answer the phone. You're going to blow stuff up. Yeah. Like, just give it to somebody who can do it.
Yeah, they're better at most everything down there than I am at this point. I just stay out of their way.
But that means you've hired the right people too, right? You've hired the right team to come around you. And people that are in roles of leadership have recognized their strengths and also their weaknesses, and have said, you know, if this is not something that's my strength, then I'm going to delegate it to somebody who can make my team stronger.
Yeah.
And I think those things are super important. But be open to the power of suggestion. And by the way, some ideas you're just going to be like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But being able to implement, like you said, it doesn't even have to be sophisticated. But a ticketing system, now that you're like, oh, that just made our life easier. Yeah. I still want to go get one of those staples, like, that was easy button. Because sometimes I think we think things have to be way more complicated than they actually do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, it's the old adage, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Yep. Like, just add a little kiss to it and see if it goes that direction.
Yep. So, I agree.
Well, you also have a very fascinating story because you're expanding.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So right now you're listening to the True Wealth Radio Show, and you have Katie Shook and
Casey McKillop.
And you're listening to News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I feel like I need a jingle, right? I always feel like the 50s, like, True Wealth Radio Show. I know, and my voice is really hoarse right now. Is there fires going on right now? Because I feel like I'm breathing more smoke in the air, or I don't know, something. My voice always goes kind of raspy during the summer, and I can't tell if it's like pollen allergies or like forest fires or...
Heat kind of does it to me sometimes.
Does it? The combination of everything? I haven't been camping, so I haven't been sitting around a fire, so I can't blame it on that. But all right, so right before we left on the break, we're going to talk a little bit about business expansion, because some businesses during this whole thing are actually expanding, right? They're stretching their legs out a little bit. There's been some very fascinating business opportunities. And so... and by the way, Casey has been fabulous to me in the fact that I pulled him off of his job today to bring him into the radio station. So I just want to say thank you.
It was getting really hot outside, so it's good.
You're like, air conditioning, we're okay. What were you doing? Have you? Because I know you've kind of announced it, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not a secret? We announced it. Yeah, yeah. We're opening our second location in Sutherland.
Ah, so he was swinging a hammer and breaking through some bricks.
Yep.
And doing some dirty work, right? Mm-hmm. So just because you're the boss doesn't mean you don't get your hands dirty.
I enjoy that part of it. So,
When you were the owner of a small business, you wear many, many hats. And sometimes it's hard because you're like, I wish I had more heads and less hats. But yeah, you got to do what you got to do to make it go. And so you were up swinging a hammer up in Sutherland trying to get your new spot ready. So again, the power of positivity, right? Like, and I think if I remember right, this was kind of going on prior to COVID. Were you?
Yeah,
or did this start like at the very beginning of it?
We signed papers like right at the beginning of February before actually really anything. There was nothing, you know.
You had to have a good facepalm moment in there. You're just like, really? Yep. We just signed the paperwork and now you're going to lock us down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, yeah, we were fortunate to be, we are very fortunate, my wife and I, which I haven't mentioned, but she's my business partner in this whole deal. And so it's like, her and, you know, she's helped me tremendously along this whole, you know, journey. And we were in a spot where, you know, I don't know if it might be the wisest decision, but again, I was kind of felt like I was getting that point where a little bit of downtime here and there.
Right.
And the second that happens, I'm like, okay, I could be doing something bigger, better, moving forward. I need a project. I need something. And it's this, we've talked about this for a couple years, opening another location. We had an opportunity to move into a space in Sutherland. The property owners of the building are awesome people, super helpful, supportive of us. Again, people from the community in Sutherland and here.
Rallying behind you, yeah, encouraging you to do it.
Up there, oh man, it was amazing, the support and encouragement. And once we had that kind of like response from just like, well, sure, we'll go look at the building, and like we show up and there's, you know, like 20 people there, they're like, okay, I'm like, well, you can't not do it now. So that was, yeah, that
I
was
feel like
cool.
Sometimes when it's the right decision, I almost feel like pushed like by a wind in my back, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like when it's the right decision, it seems like it happens way easier, it goes way more smooth than it's supposed to. You're like, oh, yep. I was really expecting this rocky road, and it kind of worked out.
It feels, and yeah, it feels right. You're not nervous about it whatsoever.
Sense of peace,
yeah,
right? A sense of peace. You're like, I should be freaking out right now, and I totally am not. Yep. And like, I always like to call those a Jesus moment. Like, I have a Jesus moment where it's like, all right, he laid his hand on me and just said, nope, this is good.
Yeah.
Now, I realize not everybody's spiritual when they listen to the show, and that's okay. But it is nice when you feel like you're doing the right thing that you do. You have this sense of inner peace about the decision.
Yep.
And by the way, I know there's a lot of business owners out there that were making big business decisions January, February, even the beginning of March, right? And then come mid to late March, they were just facepalm. It's like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Because that was scary. I mean, the world kind of stood still for a couple weeks. Is all of the dust was just trying to, you know, everybody was just trying to sort it all out and figure out, like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So that can be really scary if you're, like, in the middle of an expansion project or in the middle of a purchase. You know, I know there's a bunch of people that even bought a home, for example. You know, it's like, oh, first-time home buyers. And like, we finally got a house. And then a month later, they're like, oh, crap, do we even have a job still?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening here? So that can be very frightening.
Yeah.
So, and it's there are a lot of small business owners that are a married couple, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them where it's like, oh, my business partner is my spouse. And so being able to have, and by the way, not all spouses see eye to eye on how the business should be ran either.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things we've been joking around is like, stay in your lane. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like, if this is your thing, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we're going to divvy up the tasks.
Yeah.
And you stay in yours and I'll stay in mine. And it's not, by the way, it's not a mean thing to do.
No.
Right. If you see well-run, I'm going to call them family businesses, right? Because you have little ones, don't you?
Not yet, but we're working on it.
Okay.
There might be some coming.
So. Yeah. Oh, see, look, there's another surprise in there, right? We're going to get some COVID babies. We are. And I don't even want to call them that, but we're going to get some COVID babies.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when you're in that phase of life where you're younger and you have family and stuff, it's like, you know, you say family business and you're like, well, it's just me and my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
But, and by the way, no pressure on that one. I was not calling you out on the air.
Oh, don't worry. There's plenty, so.
Probably from the in-laws. But, you know, I totally lost my train of thought on that one. Family businesses. Family businesses that succeed are the ones that they've all figured out their strengths and then encourage one another to, like, they've divided up the work, right? And it's like, okay, well, if you're really good at marketing and communication, then don't let me do that job. You do that job, right? And it's like, if you're really good at some people just have to do the dirty work. Mm-hmm. Like someone has to actually brew the beer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, it's the least dirtiest job I've ever had. So it's still at the end of the day. Yeah, it's not bad. But yeah, and working as a team, you know.
Right.
And you, it's a really, now you really truly are a team. You know, what you fail at, they fail at. What, when you have a win, you share that win together. And yeah, having that person keep you in check.
In a loving way.
Yes.
Right? It's like, well, honey, we need to talk about this because, you know, maybe there's a better way to do it versus like, you screwed up and don't, you know, not nitpicking at each other, but figuring out how to encourage one another and be that. Now, you own another business besides Backside.
Yeah. We have Party Time Rentals.
And you bought that a year or two ago?
A little over two. Yeah. So we're going into this fall will be our third year running that.
By the way, my concept of time is horrible. I'm admitting that right now. I think things happened like 6 months ago and they were like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like my concept of time is... I said to somebody the other day, like, remember when COVID started a year ago? And they went, it started in March. And I was like, oh, it felt like a year.
Yeah, that is true. Yes.
But okay. So what's interesting to me is you're a young entrepreneur, right? And so it's like, okay, what did you do before you did beer?
I owned a pest control company that I started. And then a friend of mine and I, my mom and dad had a small like asphalt resurfacing kind of like asphalt company.
Okay.
And my buddy and I bought that from them and we operated that. And then bounced back and forth between that and like pest control, and I grew the pest control business up to a point I was pretty happy with it, really, and I was able to sell that to go in full time with the brewery.
Okay.
And then, continued doing the asphalt for a couple more years, and then luckily, you know, my best friend was my partner with that business.
And was that a point where he could buy you out of it overtake it, kind of? Okay.
Yeah, and that's when I decided, you know, everything was going really great with that company. It was just, I realized... if I'm going to do this,
you need to be all in.
Yeah. And I was spreading myself too thin. I could tell, you know, I was having, at the end of the day, it was hard to accomplish things that really needed to be accomplished and give it my true 100%. And I was super fortunate to be in a good working relationship with my best friend and his wife. And so we just decided that, okay, this is now your guys's, you know, deal. And he's continued to grow that company 10 times bigger than it was when I stepped out. So I'm super stoked for them.
Right. You always want to see your friends succeed. And especially, and there's a little bit of like fatherly pride when you're like, I started the company and now look how successful it is.
Yeah,
right.
It's cool
like,
to see.
Though you realize it's not necessarily because of you, like you're out of it, but you're like, I'm happy to see them continue to succeed.
Yep.
I think that's something that's really important. Mm-hmm. So again, that entrepreneur like spirit, right? It's like you're always looking for opportunities.
Yep.
You're willing to seize them, which is a really hard thing to do because you have to step out of your comfort zone every time you buy a different business. It's not like you bought another brewery where you're like, oh, I know how to run this already because I have the equipment.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to do a party rental company, which is a whole different animal.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And there are some similarities, luckily, but staying, again, just super open-minded, staying aware of, you know, what other businesses, people, industries are doing around you. Most of the things I've learned in business have came from businesses that had nothing to do with what I was doing. Just because it is entirely a different industry doesn't mean you can't take your same approach to managing your employees.
I think a lot of the principles are the same. The execution might not be the same, but like the foundation is, right? It's like the foundation of a house is a foundation of a house. It doesn't matter if it's, brick or stick or mortar. It's like you still need a foundation, right? You still need a floor. And I think that's true with business. Like there's kind of business acumens that are still pretty steadfast.
Yeah.
Even if the execution's not the same or the protocol or the way to get there.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah. And finding those, you know, the alignments there and the parallels, for me, that's exciting. It's fun. I do truly enjoy business in all shapes, sizes, forms, whatever it is. And, you know, who knows? After we joke around because we're like, you know, I had like basically three businesses before, and then I'm like, okay, I need to just, I need one.
It's because you don't have kids. It's really because you don't have kids. Because I'm telling you, raising kids is a full-time business in itself.
I completely agree. I don't, and I'm.
And I'm, by the way, I'm picking on you in a very loving way.
Fourth, that'll be like my, you know, that's, I told my wife, I'm like, okay, I got a few months, I got to retire. Because if we have kids coming, then, you know, that's my new job, basically. So
it's, you know, kids are awesome. And I have two, and I've been very open that I'm a foster parent, and we're in the process of adopting one right now. But man, they are forever, right? Yeah. So it's like, this is not a decision to be like, oh, we had a fun weekend, let's have a child. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it changes everything you do.
Yeah.
Definitely. But that doesn't mean that you can't be a successful business owner and have children. There's plenty of people out there that are doing exactly that.
And it's, that's, it's good that it changes what you do. Because if you had kids and you're like, oh, I do exactly what I've always done. It's like, maybe that's not
I think
good
sometimes though, like I grew up with parents that were very entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely part of my spirit. And I think it's because I've watched how hard my parents have worked and all the things that they've done. And I feel like children that kind of grow up and work in the family businesses usually grow up with a very good work acumen, because it's like, well, I had to help dad sweep floors, and I had to help dad do things, or I had to help mom, you know. And it's like, and when you realize that your parents wear all these hats and that they're willing to do the dirty jobs, it gives you a better respect for what they do.
For sure. Yeah. And sets you up for things that happen later in life. You don't get so caught off guard by random stuff. You know, your truck breaks down and you got to spend $600 for a part. You know, you've watched your dad work on his truck every night when he got home so he could use it for work the next day.
Right.
That's just part of becoming an adult.
Right.
And the relationship building there is huge.
Well, we're going to expand on that in a little bit, but we got to take our last break. You're listening to the True Wealth Radio Show. This is Katie Shook and
Casey McKillop.
And you're listening to News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, here we go. It's the last little bit of the show. It has gone by so fast today. Again, you're listening to Katie Shook. I just want to say thank you to Casey from Backside Brewery for coming in and co-hosting with me today. Again, David is MIA. He can fill you in next week on what's been going on in his life, which has been very exciting. But no, he does not have COVID. He is not self-quarantining. I don't even want that rumor getting out there. That is not it at all. He's actually having fun.
He's actually at the brewery drinking while I'm here.
That's what it is. He's hiding. No, he's not. He likes your brewery too, though. We actually had his surprise birthday party there when he turned 40, which was a few years ago. Yeah. So so see, we frequent. I love that place. We're talking about the power of positivity with businesses. And one of the things that I love about Casey's story, about your personal testimony, which is that's what it is. It's a personal testimony, is, you know, you're not afraid. It's like you're not afraid to go reach for it, right? Knowing that you may fail at it, but you're not afraid. It's like, well, this business opportunity has presented itself. And I will tell you, sometimes when it's the right opportunity and the wrong time, it's just the wrong time. It's not that it's a bad opportunity, because I know for me personally, there's been times when I've said no to things, and it's like, no, no, no. And then it's funny because you eventually end up saying yes. Right. And we were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier with the expansion. It was like, no, no, no. Okay, fine. And it's like, you kind of feel like you're like, okay, I give up. I'm just not going to fight this any longer. And sometimes I kind of, me personally, and I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like I'm getting kicked. Right. It's like, why are you not doing that? Why are you not doing that? You should be doing that. And it's like, no, I don't want to. It's like, are you sure? Because you really should be.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I always feel like my friends and family talk me into it. Like, even when I have the doubt, they're like, are you sure? You really should be doing that. And I'm like, why is everybody in agreement? And I'm like, okay, what am I not seeing in this opportunity? yeah, it's just power of positivity in businesses. I think it's awesome when businesses are talking about some of the modifications they've had to make, right? Like it's definitely an interesting time to be a business owner. You know, it's been a very scary time, right? Like whether or not you had to lay people off, rehire people. Some businesses have recovered some, mm-hmm. some haven't. Does it look different? Does the staff look different? Having to maybe shoulder more of it on your own than you were used to. It's a crazy time out there right now with this pandemic, but yeah. I like to see businesses thriving. And by the way, like as much as I've really appreciated hearing your personal story, again, as a business owner, share those personal stories.
Yeah.
And it's okay to share a struggle, but don't use social media as a way to whine about everything. Because yeah, sure. everybody's already listening to everybody whine about mm-hmm. everything. So it's like we don't need another whiner in the social media.
Yeah.
But you know, like if there's something going on, reach out or mm-hmm. you know, say, hey, you know, do you guys have any new suggestions? Are there ideas we've thought about? Be kind of open to it, right? The virtual yeah. suggestion box. Nobody yep. ever does those anymore. Probably because nobody ever fills them out anymore.
Yeah.
But just being open to kind of new ideas going on in your arena. By the way, if you're listening to the show and this is your first time listening, I am Katie Shook from Little John Financial Services. We are located over off of Klein Street. We do investments. We help people with retirement plans. This is a crazy time right now, even for that. There's all sorts of new rules that have come up. If you need help with your investments, if you have questions, you can always call our office. It's 541-375-0898. We try to have a live body answer the phone as much as possible. Now, if you call at 10 o'clock at night, you're not likely to get a live body. But if it's during normal business hours, there should be somebody answering the phone. You can also reach out to us at littlejohnfs.com or on social media because we are on social media. And Casey, again, tell people where you're at.
We're located off Odell Street, 1640 Northeast Odell.
Which is where?
It's off one block north of Diamond Lake Boulevard. It's like down from the News Review. It's the old Gerritsen's Building Supply. Pretty easy to find, but you cannot see it from Diamond Lake Boulevard, so that was a little tricky. We're right behind Journey Church.
Oh, there you go.
That's another way we explain it sometimes.
I know. So. You get really creative when you're like, so see this landmark? You uh-huh. go here, and you turn left there, yeah. and it's...
We're working on getting a sign on Diamond Lake.
Ooh, that'd be good.
So, yeah, just, I don't know. Keep making circles. Eventually, you land there.
There you go. Or you can just shoot up the street from the News Review, and eventually you'll get there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was it like an old bicycle shop at one point or something, too? Or is the bicycle shop still there?
The bike shop is still there, yes.
Is that yours, too, or is that a different business?
No, it's a different business. It's a friend of mine, Colin. He has Canyon Creek bikes. Him and I grew up together.
Oh,
and we
hurry up, we're running out of time. Yeah, I hear the music
he
going.
He opened it recently.
All right, so check out Casey McKillop, Backside Brewery. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Again, this is Katie Shook
and Casey McKillop,
and you're listening to True Wealth Radio on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.